As I told you last Sunday, today we are intending it for us to have a heart-to-heart talk and to explain to you, or rather to kind of have a conversation about where we are in our church and where we are going and the state of our church. And I intend to do that very shortly. We'll just first of all finish what we started last week, as I promised we were going to finish. And then after that, I'm going to invite Pastor Julius, who is going to come and tell us about the Joe. Oh, we are going to have Joe. So Joe, get ready. Where's Joe? He's here, right? Okay, Joe. And then after that, we are going to have Pastor Julius. And then I'll come back and recap on a few things that we all need to share. I hope that we'll be able to redeem our time, and we are going to be blessed even as we share. Now, most of you remember last week we were looking at two things that the Lord, two systems that there are. There are systems of the world and the systems that are in heaven. And we found out that God expects us to set our minds on things above. Since we have been raised with Christ, we ought to set our hearts on things above. And we went into detail to we elaborated on the things that are found here on earth. And the Lord wants us to disconnect from those things that form the systems of this earth. And we also found about the things that are in the heavenly places. We found out when the Lord tells us to set our minds on things above, the things that he is, the virtues that we are supposed to acquire, even as we clothe ourselves, as we have clothed ourselves with Christ. And we talked about compassion, we talked about kindness, we talked about humility, gentleness, we talked about being patient with one another. And we left, I think on verse number 13, I don't think we discussed about that. And we are briefly going to take on that, and then we are going to get into the main item of the day. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, verse number 13. I'll read just the first, the next few verses so that we can recap on what we were talking about, and so it can be refreshed in your memories about the things that we were talking last Sunday. Praise the Lord. Verse number 13 of Colossians, the third chapter of Colossians. The Bible says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Amen. And over all these virtues, you know, the virtues that we talked about last Sunday, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, to bear with one another and to forgive one another. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And I was asking myself why Paul would tell us to bear with each other and to forgive one another. Now, there's one thing that is very, very clear, that Paul, number one, knew that we were human beings. Amen? And there's a saying that says a human being is to error. Amen? As long as you're a human being, you're bound to make mistakes. You're bound to make faults. You're bound to collide with each other in one way or another. There's no one here in this place who can tell me that as you've lived your life, you've never collided with someone. In the course of your life, maybe you disagreed with someone. Praise the Lord. You may have ran across the path of somebody, and you did some things that were not really acceptable to another person, and you made them mad. And also vice versa, someone may have crossed your path, or somebody may have said things that you didn't like. Somebody may have done things that you never liked, and they crossed your path, and you are angry with them. And that's why Paul is writing. And I believe Paul is writing to the Colossians as well as the church in general, telling us that we need to bear with one another. Amen? Praise the Lord. Bear with each other and forgive one another. When somebody wrongs you, What is the natural response to do? The natural response is an eye for an eye. I've seen people who have really crossed, who people have crossed into their path, and it had been so bad, and you know, they were not willing to forgive, and it was really like a shock. Somebody saying and stating, with that particular thing, I can forgive any other thing, but that particular thing that this person did to me, I can never forgive them. Amen. The Bible says that if you don't forgive, then the Lord is not going to forgive you. And that's why Paul is admonishing us here to forgive one another. That if any one of us has a grievance against someone, and I know there could be people here who have grievances against other people. You know, that the order of the church, actually what it says, that if a brother has wronged you, you need to approach that brother or that sister and tell them or converse with them about the issue. Tell them, hey, you remember this day and this other day I said this thing against me, or you did these things against me. If that brother is willing to accept their mistakes and they are asking for forgiveness, guess what? You're supposed to right there forgive them. Praise the Lord. Now, if they refuse to accept responsibility of their unwilling to cooperate with what you're trying to put across to them, then you're supposed to call another witness. You're supposed to call maybe another brother or another sister that maybe knows them, or a brother that you have confidence that will never or will not leak, you know, whatever is going on. And you're supposed to come there with that other person. If that person then at that point accepts responsibility, then you're supposed to forgive them. Then if they're not willing, then you're supposed to take them. I mean, there's an order that has been set in order for us to resolve conflict. Amen. But that person is unwilling, even in the midst of another witness, to accept responsibility, then you can approach a pastor or the church. And at that point, now the church will be able to come and bring you together and address the situation or the circumstances. And at that point, if that person is willing to be forgiven, then they're supposed to be forgiven at that point. Amen? And all these things have been written because we all are bound to make mistakes. And we are all bound to make grievances or cross people's paths. Amen? There's no one who is perfect. Can you all say that aloud with me? No one is perfect. No, say it like you mean it. No one is perfect. Including me. Including me, yes. Including yourself. No one is perfect. Amen? We have a high standard, especially in our family, in our family settings. We have high standards that we set, high bars that spouses set against each other. We have high standards that we set and high bars that we set against, you know, on our own children. And when they make mistakes, how many times, you know, your child made a mistake and you wondered, why did they even do that? You know, I'm talking to my little Joshua and he's right here. I'm talking to him and I'm very jealous and protective of my computer because that's my work computer. I don't want the kids, you know, or anybody playing with it and then it crashes. Because I have data saved in there, and I don't want my computer to crash, and so I'm leaving my computer there. And he likes playing. What is this piggy thing that you like playing, Joshua? What is that piggy thing, that cartoon thing? Huh? There's that piggy thing that, you know, pigs, you know, they talk, you know, cartoon thing, and yeah, exactly. What is you call it, Moses? Peppa Pig. Okay, so I'm coming on my computer. And I'm finding Peppa Pig cartoon on my desk. And I know that is Joshua who did it. And I'm going to Joshua and I'm asking him, Joshua, why were you on my computer? You have your own tablet or you have your own thing to do it. And you know what he tells me? I didn't do it. With such confidence that he didn't do it. You see, no one teaches these children to lie. But it is naturally ingrained in their DNA. That's why the Bible says that we are all born sinners. Praise the Lord. And at that point, you know, I told him, I saw it. I saw Peppa Pig. It's on the screen. So you cannot even say that you never did it. And he's still insisting I didn't do it. So I'm like thinking, did Jeremy do this, or Susie, or Ron, or is it my wife? But the victim was this little guy here. But he couldn't admit it. So what had I to do? You know, children, I made mistakes too. Remember that day when you stole sugar from the sugar cane? Sugar cane, you know, of your mama, and she came and told you and asked you who ate the sugar. And you have sugar all in your lips and you're saying, it is not me. You know, And you know you did it. So we are bound to make mistakes, and we are human beings. Human is to error. So whenever there is, you have a grievance against one another, we ought to forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us. Now, I need to go quickly here. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And over all these virtues, put on love. It's like I have compassion. It's like I have humility. It's like I have kindness. It's like these things are working and manifesting so naturally because I'm clothed with Christ. And whoever I find, I'm showing compassion. Like you went this week, all of you went to Carol's house. I know you never showed up there technically. You had this genuine to go and mourn with her. You had compassion about what had happened. Amen? But the Bible says that now put on love, amen? And love is what links these virtues together, amen? That means I will not be compassionate if I'm not compelled by love, amen? I'm not going to be kind if I'm not compelled by love. I'm not going to be humble if I'm not compelled by love. I'm not going to take care of my brothers or esteem them as highly more than they are if I'm not compelled by love. Praise the Lord. So love is the main ingredient that links these virtues together. Can somebody say amen? So let everything that we do be motivated out of love. Amen? Let me tell you, we would solve so many problems on this planet if everything we do is motivated by love. That when you see a brother or a sister in error, that you can look at them, but just because of love that the Lord has deposited in you, you are able to love them in spite of what they have done. Amen? And you are readily able to let them go or give them a break because of the love that the Lord has given you. Praise the Lord. Amen? And then the Bible says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And verse number 17 as I conclude. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? Giving thanks to God the Father through Him, that in everything that we do, whether in deed or in word, whether God has given you an assignment to do something here in the church, do it like you're doing it for Jesus Christ. Amen? Can you imagine like you've been given a responsibility? Like, for example, I've been given a responsibility maybe to lead the worship here. If I'm just coming, you know, just technically, and I take my position because it's as a duty, and I'm not doing it to honor the Lord, then I don't receive any blessing because I am doing it as a duty. Amen? But whenever you're given a responsibility and you're doing it for the sake of the Lord, amen, hallelujah, then you are able to tap in the blessings from the Lord, because the Lord, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4 verse number 13 that everything lays bare before Him. So God is able to see the motives of our hearts, amen. As a matter of fact, when God is looking at each one of us here this morning, He is able to see the motives of our hearts. He sees the attitude, your attitude. He's able to see your attitude, amen? The motives, what is your motivation of coming to church this morning? Did you dress up this morning to come and glorify the name of the Lord? What was your motive coming this morning? Let me tell you, you may not even be aware of it, but the Lord God knows what your motive was. And let our motive be to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Finally, I'm just going to read this through, and then we are going to get into our main agenda that we have today. This is 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. I'm just going to read about this thing that Paul admonishes the Colossians to clothe themselves with in order to link all these virtues that we are supposed to set our minds high on. This is 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and I read from verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now listen, love suffers long, and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. Love does all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there are knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. In other words, we are being encouraged. Love is being defined here. Amen? Love does not... So this thing that we are supposed to clothe ourselves with holds no record of wrong. You know, years ago, we would sometimes have arguments maybe with my wife. And sometimes I think I give you a lot of my stories, right? Would have sometimes arguments with my wife. And I'll bring up all these things that she ever did for me, to me. Oh, remember this thing that you did to me. Oh, remember the other thing. Oh, remember remember this thing. And my wife would come to me. I thought we resolved those things. Why are you rekindling them? Why are you bringing them back to life? It is very easy. Love never keeps a record of wrongs. Amen? So if I wronged you yesterday and we forgave you each other and I cross your path today, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to forgive me unconditionally. Amen? Don't say, you did that the other day to me. You know, what are you trying to do now? So love keeps no record of wrong. So may the Lord help us that even as we begin this journey, because I believe it's a new journey that we are beginning right now, that as a body of Christ at Empowerment Christian Center, that we are going to set our hearts on things above. Amen? And that we are going to be our brother's keeper. We are going to be loving each other. We are going to be exhibit the virtues that the Lord wants us to set our hearts on, things that are above, praise the Lord. And that we are going to clothe ourselves with love, and that this is going to be the bond that links every virtue, that whenever I meet someone, you know, I will never see anything else other than just that brotherly love being exhibited in their lives, praise the Lord. And you know what, we can't do this by our own church. It is only the Lord who can help us. And so in our situations, we would ask the Lord, Lord, help me to love like you would. Help me to be compassionate like you would. Help me to be kind, Lord, like you would. Help me to see people the way you see them. Amen? Because when we see people the way Christ sees them, then we'll be exhibiting the nature of Christ even to other believers, to other people who may not even know him. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this word that we heard in the book of Colossians. I pray that we shall take a personal study, Lord, and even to see the pick up the elements that are found in this word. Lord, I speak your blessing over this word in our hearts, O Lord, and we declare that this word will never be stolen away. We are thankful for all that you've done, and we are thankful for things that you will do in our lives. We give you praises, and we honor your name. Thank you, Lord, even for this body of believers that come to this church. Father, it's humbling, Lord, even to see them come here Sunday after Sunday to worship you, O God. I thank you, Father, because there's a call of ministry in each one's life, so Father. You've called us ministers of reconciliation. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. We commit even the deliberations that we're just about to have right now. I pray that you shall lead us. I pray that there will be harmony. I pray that there will be understanding in the things that we talk here going ahead. And we pray this believing and trusting in Jesus' name, our Lord. And someone say a big amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to ask for your patience even as we talk. I expect that there will be a time maybe you be give a comment or you be given an opportunity to say something. First and foremost, the reason why we call this meeting is because there are a few things that we've noticed in our church. And you being the members of Empowerment Christian Center, we need to involve you in the things that are taking on and also the things that we are witnessing or the things that we are experiencing as leaders. You know, sometimes when we don't put on display or talk to you about things that are going on, some of you may not really be aware. But this will be a good forum for you to understand what is going on and a few things that we are doing, and so that we can be in the same page. Praise the Lord. And so at this time, I'm going to welcome Joe. Joe is the one who heads our financial department to come and give us kind of like a general outlook of what we have been doing as a church. And then after that, I'm going to call Pastor Julius to move on from there.